Luke. All right. That seems to be working now. We'll find out here when it's all over. Praise God. Luke chapter 19 tonight. And I'm going to say this again, but I don't want to preach. I just want to talk to you. But I'll probably end up preaching. But, you know, I would like to just talk to you a little bit tonight from my heart. God gave me this thought, and I don't know how to go, where to go. I've got some things I wrote down here with God's help, but God might lead us in another direction. But I want to look tonight at Luke chapter 19 and verse 8. And we're going to read, be going through 1 through 10 as well. But in verse 8, the Bible says those first three words, and Zacchaeus stood. And Zacchaeus stood. And I got this thought from these verses, when the little man stood tall. And Brother Gary might like that because his cat's called Little Man, I guess. But, you know, it's not about cats, it's about a man. And I want to look tonight and talk with you just a little bit. You may be seated tonight. But I want to talk here about this man, Zacchaeus, and go through these verses. But I want to look at a teaching at one of the church, our Church of God teachings that goes along with what Zacchaeus did when he stood. And it says, when Zacchaeus stood, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And thinking about the word restitution, in our teachings, the Church of God teachings, number 17 says restitution where possible. And if you'll give me just a minute to look at this word and see what it is all about, we're going to look at Zacchaeus here with God's help. But the dictionary talks about restitution and puts it this way. The act of restoring to the rightful owner something that has been taken away, lost, or surrendered. Number two, it says the act of making good or compensating for loss, damage, or injury. And then number three, a return to or restoration of a previous state or position. And number four, it says means returning to the rightful owner what has been taken illegally from him or giving back something of equal worth. And then it gives this thought. The thief made restitution by returning the stolen goods. And the two places where we get this teaching in the Church of God teachings is found in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8. Where John the Baptist, as he was dealing with the Pharisees and those that were coming to his baptism, he says to them, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, or suitable, or proves that repentance has taken place in the life of a person. And you know, when it comes to Zacchaeus here, I thought about something that we, just a few years ago, our politicians were going around and we had some problems with integrity in their life and with the character in their life. And I heard many people talk about how that it's not the character of the individual, it's their ability to govern that really matters. But a person can't govern and lead unless he has some character in his life. And the word character is this. And I thought character does matter. When it came to this man, Zacchaeus, his life, we're going to look at him in just a minute, had some problems in his life, just like we've all had in our life. Sin has been a problem to every one of us. And sin continues to be a problem in the lives of many people today. The character, the word character, means the combination of qualities or features that distinguishes one person, group, or thing from another. There's something about them. There's something you can see. Then it means the combined moral or ethical structure of a person or group. Number three, it's moral or ethical strength, integrity, fortitude. Number four, the word just says reputation. You know, character does matter in our Christian walk. And as Christians, we need to live different, be different, act different, look different. In all of our life, we have to be different. We have to stand out as Christians from the rest of the world. Well, people need to look at you and me and to see that we have been with Christ and that Christ has done something in our life and that we've been willing to make some adjustments and some changes as well in our life. And this is what's happened, and we're going to see what happened, excuse me, in the life of this man, Zacchaeus. Number one, I want to begin with verse 2. The Bible said there was a man named Zacchaeus. And it begins to describe him here. And it says, you know, about this man that he was the chief among the publicans. You know, as I looked some of these words up and just thinking about Zacchaeus, thinking about his position in life and what he was doing and how he was going about his life. You know, you'd look at him and you'd look and see him and in all appearances, he looked like a man that was secure, a man that had it made, a man that was just going through life without any problems at all. But you know, when you think about the chief, you think about the authority that he had as being the leader, and among these publicans, he had power, he had prestige, and people look at individuals. We look at the world and we see men that seem to be prospering because they have a position in this world. But you know, the position doesn't matter if the character and the heart isn't right with God. We can hold any position that this world might offer, but if our heart isn't right with God, it doesn't mean anything. But he was a publican. And when you look in the Bible and you look at publicans, they were simply tax collectors. And they were people. And Zacchaeus was a person that was working for the Roman government as a publican. He's collecting taxes. You know, nobody likes tax collectors. We complain about paying taxes all the time. You know, they're getting taxed for just about everything that you get throughout your life. But you know, he was in a position that set him against his countrymen. They didn't like him because he's collecting taxes. He's taking money from them. You know, Zacchaeus was despised and looked down upon by others. And he, you know, his world, I thought as I'm looking at his life, was a lonely world. Nobody liked him, you know, because of what he's doing. As a tax collector, his friends were few and far between. You got to help me tonight. I'm struggling with my voice. And praise God, I need God's help. But the position in life does not always mean that the person will have peace of mind. You know, I believe he was troubled. Position in Christ can change all of that. But you know, Zacchaeus could have done like many do. They say, look at me. Look at the position I've got. Look at where I'm at. Look at the important person that I am. You know, we're important in the sight of God, but none of us are important to look down upon others. We'll never reach that level of importance in our life where we have a right to look down upon others and say, I am better than you. None of us are better than one another. We might be better off because we know Christ as Lord and Savior than a lot of these people in the world, but that doesn't make us better. But I want you to see something else about Zacchaeus. It says, and he was rich. The word rich in this thought means that Zacchaeus was abounding with riches. You know, he had plenty of money. He had, you know, it just seemed like he had it made. You know, some people think because I got plenty of money, I don't have to worry about a thing. But, you know, money doesn't buy you everything in this life. Money can't buy you one inch of heaven. It can't buy you peace of mind. It can't buy you friendship, companionship. But I thought just how Zacchaeus had acquired these riches was in question. You know, many of the taxpayers were crooks. They were crooked. They would deal and they'd take more than they were supposed to take. But had he gained this wealth by dishonest means, had he taken more than what was allotted to him, many of these tax collectors done things that were very questionable. And I thought about Zacchaeus. You know, he's with them, and most likely Zacchaeus was just as crooked as the rest of them were. You know, we're born with a crooked, sinful nature, every one of us. And Zacchaeus had a crooked nature. He was one that was born in sin and no different than anybody else. I thought the hearts of all men are corrupt by nature and must be changed by the regenerating power of God. That's the only way we can change. That's the only way we can have any character about us and any morality about us that'll please God in our life. You know, our character must undergo a spiritual change to be renewed in the image of God. We need to be made renew in the image of God. With money, some can say I can do what I choose to do. And I thought no amount of money can buy what we need from God. Zacchaeus might have been rich, but what he needed from God was not bought with money. It's given by the grace of God. The gift of God is free to whosoever will. And this man Zacchaeus, praise God, what he needed was companionship with Christ and companionship with God. Church, this is what we need more than anything else. But you know, just looking at Zacchaeus, this is who he was, and this is what he was. But I want to go back to verse 1, and it said, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho." There's two things that happen here that's going to change Zacchaeus' life forever. Going to change where he's headed for in eternity. Going to change his character. Going to change who he is and everything about him. You see, Jesus is needed in our life to change us. We're trying to change many times on our own, but we can't make the change that pleases God in our life. All we need to do some things after we become a Christian, but we can't make that spiritual rebirth. It has to come from God. It has to be from the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, dealing with us. But this man Zacchaeus, being the chief of the publicans, being among them, being rich, and looking maybe at all appearances at those that look at him, envied by other people. My Lord, we should never envy the sinners in this life. Oh, you know, we look at them and many times we want what they got. But what they, you know, if they could admit it and would be honest, they need what we got. We don't need this world or the things of this world. We've got a God and a relationship with him that he will take care of us. Two occurrences take place that will change Zacchaeus from that day forth. And the first one is that Jesus entered. I look at these words and I find something about this. I thought any time that Christ becomes involved in the lives of people, in the lives of sinners, praise God, there'll come a change. Oh, when he enters, here he comes to this old city of Jericho. Here he's making his way to Calvary. And here's a sinner amongst all these other people that needed God. You see, he's one among many, but he's one that God loves. He's one that Christ comes to seek and to save that which is lost. But Jesus enters. Oh, you know, we need to open the door of our heart every day of our life. We need to know that he's passing by. And when he enters, praise God, he'll enter into the heart that will respond. But it goes on to say, not only did he enter, but it goes on to say that he passed through. You know, I think when he passes through, he makes himself available. Praise God to all of those that will look to him. All of those that will come to him. Praise God, he's there. He's passing by. He's entered tonight. I believe he's in the house of God tonight. I believe He's here in the hearts of His people tonight. He's entered, but He's not just entered. He's passing by. Praise God. We can find in Him as He passes by every need. You know that little woman that had the issue of blood? Jesus was passing by. Praise God. And she said, I'm going to touch the hem of His garment. Hallelujah. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to get what I need from Him because He's passing by. Praise God. He's passing through His house. Hallelujah. He's with us tonight to meet every need tonight. Hallelujah. But here's a little old man that needed some help from the Lord. You know, I thought He passes by making Himself available to all who are in need of salvation. I find Him here, praise God, not just coming to the saints, but I find Him making Himself available to one sinner that was in need. If Zacchaeus was that important to Jesus, then you and I tonight are important as well. Praise God, these sinner folks around the church, we might look at them and we might say they live terrible lives. But praise God, if Jesus could enter, if somebody could take Jesus to their heart's door and knock on that door and said, I got a friend I want you to meet. Praise God, He wants to come into your life. He wants to enter into your problems. He wants to enter into the sins that you've got and deal with those. But when He passes through, praise God, you're going to know that He does something. You're going to know, praise God, that He doesn't pass by just to be passing, but He's come by to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, hallelujah. Folks, people that are in sin are important to God tonight. Jesus cares about them tonight. Let me go on here. You know, after this encounter with Christ, this man Zacchaeus would be changed in his character and in his behavior by the power of the Savior. When conversion takes place, when repentance is real in the life of an individual, there's going to be a change. You can't be born again and still have the old nature. You can't become a Christian, a child of God, and still continue in the old behaviors. God will change us. He makes us all new. And this man Zacchaeus, even though he maybe had swindled many in his life, he might have done some very underhanded things, but Jesus came to him all the same. You see, we've all sinned and come short of God's glory. Praise God. And we all need the touch of God, but we don't need Him to enter just once. We need to Him to enter every day. We need to Him to pass by every day of our life. Hallelujah. And just to have Him to be a part of our life. Hallelujah. But what happens next in verse 3? It says he sought to see Jesus, who He was. You know, I couldn't help but think that this man Zacchaeus was finding that the money that he put his trust in wasn't meeting the need in his life. You know, there's something missing. I thought something within him was compelling him. Something in the heart of sinners tonight. You know, we think that they're beyond the reach of the church. They might be beyond the reach of the church when we sit and do nothing. But they're never beyond the reach of the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost is still reaching. The Holy Ghost is still touching. The Holy Ghost is still dealing with the sinners in this world tonight. Hallelujah. Something within him was compelling him, moving him, stirring him to get to where Jesus was. And you know, he sought to see Jesus, who he was. You know, there's something we ought to always have that desire to see and to know and to learn more about Jesus tonight. All that he had to call his own was unable to satisfy the longing that he felt within his heart. I couldn't help but think this, the unseen Spirit of God
was drawing him to Christ that day. His desire was seen in his efforts that day. I can tell you tonight that the desire we have for Christ will be seen in the efforts that we make around the altars and in our spiritual life. There'll be some results by the desire. But here's this man wanting to see Jesus. Jeremiah says this in Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, said the Lord that appeared hath appeared unto me of old, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Here's what's happening in the heart of this man Zacchaeus. He said, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I can just almost see, you know, if we could let our mind go, we could see the unseen hand of God reaching into the heart of that sinner man and pulling and touching in him toward this Savior, this one that wanted to get to touch his life and wanted to be a part of his life. We can see this loving kindness at work in the heart of Zacchaeus. You know, on the road to Jericho that day, it doesn't have to be in the church. We're missing many opportunities to think that men and women need to be around these altars to be saved. No, we can reach them where they are. If we can take Jesus to them, it doesn't matter if they're home. It doesn't matter if they're sitting in their automobile. It doesn't matter if it's on the job. The Holy Ghost and the loving kindness of God can draw them to this wonderful Savior tonight. Here's a man that needed salvation. Church, we need to look around and we need to find those that are in need. And we need to bring them to Jesus and bring Jesus to them. John chapter 6 and 44 says this, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You know, God gave me these thoughts. God, through the power of the Holy Ghost, was tugging at the heart of Zacchaeus. God, through the Holy Ghost, was pulling him with the cords of love and with that loving kindness and pulling and drawing him that day. Oh, Zacchaeus might have had a desire, but who planted that desire in his heart? I believe it was the Holy Ghost. I believe it was God that was touching him. I don't know, maybe he had somebody that was praying for him. Maybe there's just some that were praying and saying, change the life of this man. Oh, he might have been, and he was somebody's son. He doesn't say much about his family. I don't know if he had a wife and children, but if he did, perhaps he's crying out to God to save his soul. Oh, and the Holy Ghost is moving. Nobody could see it. Nobody knew it was happening. Until the day that Jesus passed by. And old Zacchaeus said, I got to see him. Oh, I got to get to where he's at. I've got to meet this Savior. There's something about him. There's something that's compelling me. Let me tell you, church, if we'll pray and do our part, God will send the Holy Ghost to our families. God will touch their hearts and souls. Hallelujah. It would, you know, he'd not be deterred by the efforts of others. In verse 3, it goes on to say, and he could not. You know, he wanted to see Jesus, but he could not because of the press. You know, some of these people, I thought, you know, some of these people, they probably attempted to keep Zacchaeus from getting to Jesus. They didn't like him. They thought he's not worth it. He's a rotten individual. He's mistreated us. He's cheated us. He's taken from us by false means and done things that he shouldn't to do. And he doesn't deserve to be in the presence of Jesus. Let me tell you something. We've got to put aside all of our prejudices. We've got to put aside all of our feelings. And if somebody's wronged us more than anybody else, they need to be in the presence of Jesus. We don't need to keep them away, but they need a Savior that'll change them from doing those things. Hallelujah. And they couldn't get to Jesus. But you know, he made up his mind, praise God, that they're not going to stop me. I can see them closing the ranks as he tries to get through. I can see them maybe looking at one another saying, here he comes. Here comes that tax collector. He's not worthy to be in the presence of Jesus. If the truth is known, church, there's not a one of us tonight that deserve or are worthy to be in the presence of this Savior tonight. He's the one that makes us worthy. He's the one that washes every sin from our life. Hallelujah. But he's going to use any means he can to get to where Jesus is. Because he was of little stature. Now, I'm not to the part I want to be yet. But you know, here he is, a little man. And he ran before and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. For he was to pass that way. He knew Jesus was coming that way. I want to read you what God gave me. First, he was a determined man, full of energy to see the Savior. Quite unlike many of us tonight. We've done lost that desire. We've done lost that fervor. We've lost that energy to be in the presence of the Savior. But here's a sinner man. Oh, here's one, praise God, that had a great desire. He didn't allow his physical condition to hinder him in his endeavor. He didn't say to them, I'm small. God calls me when I was born to be of small stature. And he could have used that. He could have said that because of this, I can't get to him. But my Lord, we ought to take every disadvantage and count it as an opportunity, hallelujah, to get to the presence of the Lord Jesus tonight. Preacher, I'm tired and I can't get to him. Just think of what would happen if you did get in His presence. Oh, hallelujah. He didn't waste time blaming others. You know, he could have looked around. I thought the crowd may have been in his way that day. But you know, this little, big little man, whatever you want to call him, he just climbed above all of his hindrances. Can you see this little guy? Praise God, these crowds. He tried to stretch to look over and look around him. He couldn't. Praise God. So what did he do? He didn't let them stop him. He pounded away. Praise God. And he climbed up over his problems. Hallelujah. I tell you tonight, if we want to get in the presence of Jesus, there's nothing that can stop us. Hallelujah. When we make up our mind tonight. Hallelujah. He didn't make an excuse to quit. He could have said very easily, praise God, what's the use? He must have known in his heart that if one desires to see Christ, then one must make a way, and there must be a way to accomplish that. You know, Christ wants us to see Him. He wants us to see Him, praise God, not just simply on the cross. And I don't mean that in a light manner. But we need to see Him as the one that died on the cross, that was laid in the tomb, and that was resurrected, hallelujah, and is alive. Praise God, a Savior that can meet your needs and your needs and my needs tonight. Praise God. Praise God. We need to see that. We need to know that if God wants us to be in His presence, then there must be a way to get there tonight. Hallelujah. And God wants every man, every woman to enjoy the fullness of Christ in their life. Hallelujah. Said I wasn't going to do this, so bear with me. He took advantage of the opportunity while it was before him. You know, he must have sensed that this might well be the only opportunity he would have. You know, for us tonight, and quit worrying about where everybody else is at. Let's just worry about where we're at. We can't live for anyone else. We can encourage and try to help one another. But we need to take advantage of the opportunity that God has given to each one of us here tonight. We might not ever get the opportunity to kneel around the altars again. We might not ever get the opportunity to lift up our hands and praise Him and worship Him again. God could just call us out. Praise God. And we've got an opportunity tonight. You know, tomorrow what we get tonight might be just what we're going to need to face whatever comes our way tomorrow. Praise God. And this little guy, praise God, he must have felt, praise God, I got to get to Him. I don't know if he sensed that Christ was on His way to Calvary or not, but he knew, praise God, this is my turn. This is my time. This is my opportunity. Praise God, how many times do we walk out of the church house and leave the blessings here? And praise God, it might just be one more praise. It might be one more hallelujah. It might be one more thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And God opens the windows of heaven upon us. Hallelujah. Praise God. And when he came to the place, verse 6. You know, I'm thinking when I was reading this, that there's a place where we all can meet Christ. Hallelujah. You know, there's a place for every one of us tonight. Jesus never fails those who are sincere to know more about Him. He'll never fail you. You know, I tell you what fails and where we fail. He doesn't fail. We fail when we come with a heart of disbelief. We fail when we come full of doubt. We fail when we come and we done made up our mind that, you know, I'm just going to go because the preacher says I ought to be there. Praise God, we ought to be at the altar. But my Lord, not because the preacher thinks you ought to be there. It's the place where we offer sacrifice and praise unto God. That's the place where we meet Him. Zacchaeus knew, praise God, that there's a place. Praise God, he didn't know what's going to happen. He might have had some thoughts, but he didn't understand all that's going to happen. But when he came to the place, hallelujah, praise God, do you know when we come to the place in our heart and in our mind and in our thought and in our thinking, praise God, that we make up our mind, this is where I'm going to meet Him. Hallelujah, this is the time, praise God, that I'm going to get through. I'm not going to let anything stop me any longer. Hallelujah. For Zacchaeus, this was the place, this was the time. Hallelujah. You know, God's good to us. Many miss this most important meeting with Christ who do not desire it. We've got to desire to meet Him. Zacchaeus had a desire. But when he came to the place, number 7 says, when he came to the place, praise God, he looked up. Jesus looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Oh, hallelujah. Wouldn't you like to take Jesus home with you tonight? Praise God. Far many times, too many times, when we go out the door, we leave Him in His house. Praise God. Our house ought to be His house as well. Praise God. He ought to be a welcome guest. Praise God. He said, today. Day, praise God, I must abide at your house. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus wants. He wants to be a part of our life. Not just the church life when we're sitting on the pew, but He wants to go with us. The meeting takes place. As I'm looking at this, I find the meeting takes place. Something that Zacchaeus may not have been expecting to happen. But Christ exceeds all expectations in the lives of those that are truly seeking to meet Him. He exceeds all expectations. Hallelujah. The problem is, we don't expect anything anymore. Come on now. Oh, we've got so formal. We're just like the Methodists and some of the others. And we got so formal, we don't expect God to do anything. We come to church out of routine. And you know, it ought to be a routine, but it shouldn't be a rut that we get in. Hallelujah. It ought to be a part of our life. Praise God. But you know, I thought this all-important meeting is a meeting that must not be put off. It's a meeting all sinners must have with the Savior to find forgiveness. But it's a meeting that we need to continue having in our life time after time, day after day. day, week after week. Hallelujah. As long as we're on this planet. Hallelujah. We ought to meet with Him. Hallelujah. The meeting takes place right there on the Jericho Road. Oh, I'm so glad. You know, I love coming to church, and I guess sometimes just like you, I get discouraged and I get down just like you. But I still love being in God's house because you leave and you're something different. Hallelujah, when you meet Him. But you know, I'm glad I don't have to be in church just to meet the Lord. I'm glad that tomorrow morning when I get on my job, praise God, that I can feel His presence there. I know He's there with me. Praise God, when I come home, I know He's there with me. When we go to visit, I know He's there with me. Praise God, we can meet Him all through this life. Praise God, we can meet with Him all day long if we choose to. Hallelujah. He said, I'm with you always, didn't He? But listen, this meeting takes place on the Jericho Road. When the Lord looked up, He said to him, make haste and come down. You know, make haste. You know, God wants to meet with us. He doesn't want us to hesitate and hold back. I can remember times in church when we'd have the altar call that people would, they were in a hurry to get to the altar. Now we just sit back and say, oh, I wish the preacher would hurry up and shut up so I can go home. And then when the altar time comes, my Lord, it kind of hurts us, I believe, to get up and come to the altars anymore. Hello? I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. But you know, he made haste. The Bible said he'd make haste and come down. And this is what his response was. Zacchaeus responds quickly. You know, he responds quickly. You know, if I stood up here and I had $500 in my hand, and I'd say, hey, who wants $500? You'd probably fight to get up here to see who can be the first one to get here. Sister Bear, be beat with the cane. So don't give my $500 away. Don't have it. But you know, that's how quick we'd respond. But you know, unlike many in our day, Zacchaeus saw the need of moving from where he was to where Christ was. He saw the need to come down out of that sycamore tree. Praise God. And you know, he wanted to be there. And the Bible said he came down. He made haste and came down. Can you see those little legs and those little arms just scrambling down that tree like a monkey to get to where Jesus is? Hallelujah. He's not ashamed to be seen with Christ. Come on now. He's not ashamed of what people might say to him. His position mattered little to him here. Didn't make no difference. He's a publican, a tax collector. I'm putting all that aside. Hallelujah. I'm putting all that pride, all that position. And what mattered to him that day was that this man called, Jesus had called to him. And you know, Jesus did something when he called. He called him by his name, Zacchaeus. You know, when the Lord calls us, He knows us by name. We're not another number. We're not just another figure. But we're an individual that the Lord cares about. And he came down and he'd done something else. The third thing that Zacchaeus did, he received him joyfully. Hallelujah. You know, here's a sinner man that needed God in his life and needed Christ in his life. And it received him joyfully. You know, we ought to get up here and sometimes, and when we do have burdens, I know sometimes things hurt and they get us down. But every once in a while, we ought to get up here and say, Lord, I need you to bless me. But praise God, I'm going to do it with a joyful spirit. Hallelujah. I'm going to rejoice because, Lord, I come down. Praise God, from where I was, from my position of pride and self, I've climbed down out of that tree and I'm standing at the feet of the Savior. Hallelujah. And I've got something to rejoice. Hallelujah. To rejoice. To rejoice about. Hallelujah. I'm glad. Praise God. And the meeting takes place. The two come together. With all the crowd looking on. With all the people standing around. And you know, it says, and when they saw it, they all murmured saying, that he's going to be guests with a man that is a sinner. Now, I couldn't help but think about Zacchaeus here. He pays little heed to the grumblers and complainers. Oh, it's time we quit listening to all those that grumble and complain. Let's build on this relationship with Jesus. Let's get close as we can. Let's meet Him time after time, day after day. Praise God, what they said would be silenced by the actions of this little man that was beginning to stand tall in the presence of Jesus. You see, it's not how big we are in our position in this life, in the physical body that makes a difference, but it's how we respond to the Savior that'll make us tall in the spiritual things of God tonight. Hallelujah. And Zacchaeus stood up. Now here's where the change has taken place. Here's where you can see that true repentance and conversion has occurred at the meeting, praise God, of Jesus in His life. Praise God, if we meet Him and we're sincere and we receive Him joyfully, He's going to make a change. I don't know how He does it. I don't know, praise God, the way that it takes place. I just know that a supernatural change can take place in the life, and the person that meets Jesus with an open heart will have a changed heart, will have a new nature, and they'll be brand new, made all new in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His actions testified to the fact that he had true repentance in his life. Oh, you're talking about character. Praise God. Here's a man that swindled. Praise God. And took things, no doubt, unethical ways. Praise God that now he's going to stand and you're going to see a change. Praise God. You see, God makes a change in all of our life, in every area of our life. He faced those that accused him in a proper manner. He didn't look at them, praise God, and badmouth them, praise God, but he stood, praise God, and he looks at the Lord. He looks at the one that made the change. He looks at the one that got cleanse his heart and change his life. Hallelujah. You know, he showed the world that conversion had taken place in his heart and life. You know, there has to be a change. There must be a change. When we meet Christ, we have to change. Our attitudes change. Our way of thinking changes. Our direction in life changes. Praise God. Well, you know, everything changes. We're made brand new. Praise God. You know, when you're made brand new, praise God, it's just like, praise God, having something new. Praise God, it's all shiny. Praise God, it's clean inside and out. Hallelujah. You see, this man was changed. He was changed from the inside out, not from the outside in. If it doesn't start in the heart, it's not going to do us any good tonight. Hallelujah. Our heart has to be changed. God has to make that change. But then we have to stand up like this little man did. Here's a little guy. I picture him about this tall maybe. Praise God, but here he's standing up. Praise God, changed. Oh, you know, he thought he stood tall because he had money and position and power and authority. But that's not what makes us tall. Hallelujah. Praise God, when God changed his heart, this little man stood taller above all of those that were murmuring and complaining. And he's showing that this wonderful Savior has made a change in my life. Hallelujah. Behold, he says, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. You know, I couldn't help but think he's demonstrated that his heart has been changed by what he's doing and saying here. Oh, hallelujah. And I couldn't help but think when he's talking about the half of my goods, oh, my riches, my money. Praise God. You know, I couldn't help but think as I was looking at that, any time a man is willing to open his wallet to do his rightful duty to God and others, you can make sure that repentance has taken a place in his life. There's been a change. Hallelujah. When we can surrender all to God. And he said, if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Oh, he's, you know, I'm looking at these verses and I'm thinking things. I thought, you know, here's a man that now that he's met Jesus, he's made, willing to make all things right. You know, restitution means I go back and I right the wrongs. I can't ignore them. But when I can make things right, we need to go back and make it right. But you know, restitution is something that needs to continue through our life as Christians. Praise God. You know, when things happen in our homes, in our families, in our church, somebody needs to go and say, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? I've done wrong in my life. That's what makes us big and strong in the sight of God. But then he says this. I thought this. He didn't hold anything back. You know, if we're holding anything back, then did a change really take place? He knew his change came from God and required the correct response on his part. So he said, I restore him. You know, I'm going to do what's right. You know, restitution involves every area of our life. You know, here's a man that's being accused by others. And I'm sure maybe he's done some of them wrong and they're bitter about it. But after the change in his life, you know, before this he might have got bitter and said things to them like we've all done in our life. But I don't find him saying any bitter words to these folks. I see him looking to the Lord. And I see him telling the Lord what he's going to do. Oh, and how he's going to do it. And I believe he followed through with what he said. Praise God. And you know, sister, if I wrong you and I do something and I've got the wrong attitude towards you, I need to go to you and say, I'm sorry, would you forgive me? Yeah. I mentioned this several times, but I never will forget when I was first saved. The lady that come to our church. And I was just, you know, had some things against women. And oh, you know, she come and she preach and I'm growing and I don't understand everything about the Bible. And I had some hard feelings towards her. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't have to tell anyone else. God knew how I felt in my heart. God dealt with me about that. And sister, God made a change in my life. But you know, there's things that I needed to do. And I went to her. I can remember just as plain. We walked out of that little church there in Brunswick and walking up under that bridge that went over top the highway. And I looked at her and I said, Sister Pat, I want you to forgive me. Oh, I've had some bad feelings towards you. And she said, I didn't know that you felt that way. But you know, I had to admit it because God was dealing with my heart and I had to go to her if I wanted to go to heaven. Every time she get up to preach, my feelings would hinder her and hold her back in the way she'd preach. And when we sit in church and we got ill will and ill feelings one towards another and we can't get over those things and all we hide those things, I think the best thing to do is to admit those and to go to one another. The Bible said we ought to confess our faults one to another. I go talk to everybody else about them. I could have talked to everybody else about the problem I had in my heart against that lady. And it wouldn't have solved the problem. But I had to go to her. What have you done, I thought, to make things right with God and with our fellow man? Do we think that God's requirements are any different in our situation? Think about what this is saying. Do we think that God will excuse us from not fulfilling His requirements that come with true repentance? You know, evidence of salvation was displayed in the life of Zacchaeus that day. If we're going to see souls saved, then there's going to have to be some open repentance and some making things right. Church, if we're going to see people coming to the Lord, we're going to have to fellowship one with another and have conversations and talk one with another and be open one with another and share our hearts one with another and our times one with another. So, oh, preacher, you don't want to meddle now. I'm just telling you what it's going to require. God wants us to work together and cooperate together, and not just sit together. Whew. But we've got to work together and love together. And if we're going to see souls saved, we're going to have to do it together. Oh, we can't hold anything back. God wants us to win souls. How many believe that? You know, God wants us to be open one with another and to be sincere and honest and kind and loving. And seen in this man's life, his heart was made right with God. His repentance was seen in his actions. Restitution was made by him. Now I want to give you some thoughts and I'm going to close. Sister, you want to get ready. True repentance will do several things, and it involves things in our life. First, it requires heartfelt service, not just lip service. Our heart has to be in it. We can talk about it all day, but if our heart's not in it, it's not going to do any good. We have to be moved to tears because of sin in the life. You know, we might not drink and smoke and chew and do all those things, but any envy or jealousy or any of those kind of feelings towards one another is just as bad as sin. Knowing that judgment awaits all sinners brings repentance. We need to respond in the proper way to the Holy Ghost conviction, not shove it off and say it's for somebody else. God deals with my heart many times when I'm preaching. You know, it's not just the preacher that's preaching to you, but it's God and the Holy Ghost that's preaching to all of us. God's Word's for all of us. We must be willing to accept the blame for sin. He said, if I've done anything or taken anything from any man, by false accusation. Repentance must bring change in our lives. Repentance. You know, in our direction of living, mention these, our thinking, our attitudes. True repentance must turn a person from sin and then turn them to God in all areas of our life. Every one of us. Every one of us. You know, we need to be sorry for sin again. We need to be sorry if we've slipped and drifted from God. Repentance leads to confession of all sin. Sin must not be hid or covered up, but it must be brought to the forefront of every person's life. It's either here or now, or one day it's shouted from the rooftops. And there can be no forgiveness until there has been confession of all sin to God. We can never find forgiveness until we confess our sins. And we make things right. Church, we've come too far. We need to see souls saved. You know, we're not here just to occupy a pew. I'm not here just to occupy this pulpit. But you know, we're here to do things for the Lord and reach souls and reach out and touch hearts. You know, if all we do is waste our time doing things that are non-essential and things that are not eternal, and we waste our days day after day after day, what's God going to ask us about the time when we get before Him? What did we do with that time? Sister, would you play something for us? I want to read you one last thing. It says, the love that rights the wrong. One of God's servants had preached a searching sermon on forgiveness. He urged God's children to get right with God and with one another. He emphasized the fact that God's children cannot be right with God and at the same time wrong with one another. For it is within their power to right the wrong. Think about that. He quoted the verse which says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Romans chapter 12 and 18. Oh, he goes on to say that more of us had the love which rights the wrong. Then more hearts would be filled with cheer and song. At the close of the service, a lady who had harbored hatred for the pastor in her heart. Now, this isn't just for the pastor. This could be for anyone. Openly confessed to him the wickedness and wretchedness of her heart, saying,
your reference to the love that rights the wrong. She said, it went like an arrow to my heart. And she said, do forgive me for the wrong I have done to you as I feel that God has forgiven me. You know, if we don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us ours. That's what the Bible teaches us. Church, I want to make it to heaven. I don't want to see empty pews in our church. I don't want to see people living around us dying and going to hell. Just a few weeks ago, we saw a man right here at the foot of the church overdose on drugs. I've heard people talk about him and the life that he lived and how bad he was on drugs and some of the things that he's done. But it could have been any one of us. We could be in that condition tonight if Christ hadn't saved us. I remember when somebody came to me. I don't know how Sister Bear got in touch with those folks in the church, if they came to her or how she met them. But she went to church, I believe, a time or two and then asked me to go. I'm glad somebody came to her. Because if they hadn't come to her, I'd have never went to church. And most likely I'd be in hell today. Church, this is why we got to go. There's a lot of people like Zacchaeus out there. There's a lot of people that we look at and we see them and we look at them and we see somebody that we feel, well, they're just not worth it. Christ thought they were, didn't he? You go on down a few verses there. And it says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. They could murmur and complain all they want. A soul was saved. A soul that they thought wasn't worth it, Christ thought he was worth it. He made a beeline to where he was. And he called him down and he changed his life. Would you stand with me tonight? Unless somebody goes, most are not going to come. But if somebody will go to those, oh, quit being so busy and wasting time on other things. We've all been guilty of making excuses. But you know, with every excuse we make, somebody's slipping out into eternity lost. Jesse, I didn't know your grandmother passed away the other day. This is the first I've heard of it. But you know, all around us, people are slipping out. We need to help them get ready. We can do that, church. I believe we can do that. We ought to say, God, challenge my heart. Challenge my mind, my soul. And Lord, just help me to rise up to that challenge. Lord, send me. You know, I believe He's looking for somebody to go. And Lord, we ought to answer like the prophet said, and said, Lord, here am I, send me. And then get up and go. Let the results in the hands of God. All of that crowd that pressed around, Zacchaeus is the only one that came to Jesus that day that we read about. I don't know, maybe some others would later see the change in his life. And perhaps they'd say, if this Savior, this man Jesus, can change this sinner's life. Some of those that murmured might have looked and seen the change and seen it was real. And said, I want this change in my life. Would you come, church? Let's spend some time in the Lord's presence tonight. Just let Him touch us and help us tonight.